Welcome to Public Health Matters with Dr. Christina M. Madison, the founder and CEO of the Public Health Pharmacist, PLLC, a public health consulting firm. She is passionate about spreading knowledge on public health in order to create healthier and happier communities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Public Health Matters with me, your host, Dr. Christina Madison, also known as the Public Health Pharmacist. This podcast series is part of Pharmacy Times' Pharmacy Focus podcast series. And today I have another incredible guest. His social media persona is the Fit Pharmacist, but I will let Walter introduce himself. I don't know if everyone knows you, but I'm really excited to have you come on, especially after we had the pleasure of meeting in person at the recent APHA meeting. So without further ado, Walter, please introduce yourself. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself and about your background.
Hey, thank you, Christine. Thanks for having me on your podcast. You know, it's been a scheduled conflicting. So I'm glad to finally have me on. I'm excited to be here. I'm Walter Ronsai. I'm a pharmacist. I work in a community setting. I've been a pharmacist for about 6 years now, or 5 years now. So my platform I created is called Fit Pharmacist. It is a social media platform. I make content, health-related content on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, everything. So I'm on everywhere. So I make health-related content, talk about pharmacy issues, pharmacy-related topics, healthcare-related topics, but I always try to keep it light, engaging. I also do, sponsored posts. I do collaborations with other health entities, health agencies, kind of to shed light on a lot of issues that affect pharmacy and healthcare too. So check out my platform.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, and it's so your name is very descriptive, right? So Fit with a P, pharmacist.
Yeah,
and I will say, meeting you in person, that the name is fitting. You are quite fit.
Thank you.
And so I just wanted to mention, that you do have this passion around fitness and around health. And so I just wanted to maybe talk a little bit about where that comes from and if you always had fitness as part of your daily routine, and maybe just talk a little bit about, where that comes from.
Yeah, thank you. Well, fitness has always been important to me. I work out daily. I try to work out daily. I guess you call me a gym rat. I feel as pharmacists, we always counsel patients on, lifestyle modifications, take your medicine, take it on time, watch what you eat, So I feel like it'll be hypocritical if I'm not practicing what I preach. So I implement fitness in my lifestyle. It helps, help with stress. Exercising gives you mental clarity. It's good. It's a good way to just, maintain and maintain your weight. So I work out daily. I think that people should always incorporate, fitness in their lifestyle. When we count, we see a lot of patients that are, a lot of these metabolic diseases that we deal with in the pharmacy setting, they can be, if not prevented, it can be, managed with implementing fitness in their lifestyle. So I feel like it's a very, very important thing. Plus, if you look good, feel good, fitness is good. So I just think that it's very important to implement in your lifestyle.
So any chance you would divulge your fitness plan with us? I don't know how you are able to get your muscles. I don't really have much. I'm kind of, not everybody wants muscles, but I definitely agree with the health aspect. I think what is the cardiovascular recommendation? 30 minutes at least 5 times a week. So whether that's 30 minutes individual, or you, you know, put in an hour and, you know, but I think it's 120 minutes per week, but I don't know if everybody can do daily, but if you want to divulge what your exercise plan is so that we can all aspire to be as fit as you.
Yeah. So, I always get asked, you know, I get asked this question a lot. Well, how do I stay fit? How do I manage? What do I do? My workout regimen is, the thing is just to, and the American Heart Association recommends about 150 minutes, a week of, you know, of moderate activity. That's, you know, just regular walking, you know, that's, if you calculate, that's about, you know, 20 minutes, 21 minutes a day. If anybody can, most people can divide that time, you know, just to get a nice little brisk workout in. You don't need a gym membership. You know, I know gym memberships are very, very cheap now. They're very, very affordable. I won't say cheap, very, very affordable. But you don't need a gym to work out. You can work out at home. When I was an undergrad, when I was an undergrad, I mean, my favorite person in the world was Wendy's. Not the person, it was a restaurant named Wendy's. So I always got two double stacks and a Frosty. That was like my go-to meal. So two double stacks and a Frosty. I would pay max for $3. I know now it's like, now that meal, like a double stack is like $5 now. So I couldn't even afford that lifestyle right now. So, but yeah, I was addicted to double stacks and Frosty. Every single day I always eat it. Until I actually catch myself, like, hey, I was gaining weight. I was starting to feel different. So I had to check myself and say, hey, let me just, you know, chill out on these double stacks. And, you know, I started to, you know, focus more, be more intentional with my fitness. So, and I found out that you don't really need too much to actually stay fit. You can work out in the comfort of your own home. You probably need a chair. You could use a weights if you want to, but you can use your home. You could use your own body as a, you know, to help for resistance training, use your own body to work out with. So, you don't need much, you know, to work out, and that's the magic in it. So, I always tell people you don't really need too much. If you kind of just if you're consistent, try to have some type of consistency with and be more intentional in your health and your fitness, and you can always find a way to, you know, stay fit.
So no go on telling us your secret sauce of how you stay your current.
Well, cardio is number one.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I do cardio. I do. I mean, when I'm able to go to the gym, I do Stairmaster for about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I do treadmill for 20 minutes. And then I do core workouts for about 10, 15 minutes. And then I'll lift weights, either resistance bands or I'll, you know, do some free weights, free dumbbells. If I'm working out in the gym, but if I work out at home, I have a pull-up bar and a chair. So I do sit-ups, crunches, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's not too much. So, but, you know, just consistency. And then diet. Diet is the number one thing too. What you eat is the most important thing. You can work out as much as you can. You can work out as much as you want to, but if you're not eating right, then it all goes away. So,
all right. Well, tell us about the diet then, friend. Let us know what is the thing that we should all be eating. I personally love food, and I think maybe sometimes I love food too much because it doesn't love me back. Like, that's me. I don't do the double stacks, but like my big thing is I really like salty foods. And so like, and I'm getting older. I know I look young, but I'm getting older. And so I have to worry about my blood pressure. And so I can't add salt to things. I really love savory foods. And so I know that's hard. I like things that are spicy, and I have horrible GERD. So I really can't eat that. I know. I just need a whole like redo of my diet, I'm sure. So tell me a little bit about like what you're like, are you eating like just like white rice and vegetables and chicken breasts all the time, or what you eat over there?
My weakness is bread. I love bread so much. I can eat a whole loaf of bread in just one sitting. So I try my best to stay away from bread, especially if it's like a sweet, soft, you know, fresh off the oven bread. Just so good. So I try to avoid bread. The thing with diet for me is mainly what you don't eat more to what you do eat. If you can avoid certain things. I know when I started my fitness journey, one thing I had to, a few things I had to cut off was sugary drinks, sodas. You don't have to cut things off per se. You kind of, if you're able to just reduce it, you know, do less of it, you know, do it more, drink stuff, eat or drink these things more occasionally. Sugary drinks is number one. Carbs like bread, processed foods. A lot of those processed foods, you know, we tell our patients, you know, our hypertensive patients, you know, reduce those processed foods because they're full of preservatives and, you know, salt and things like that can always raise the blood pressure. So, so I said carbs, salty foods, sugary drinks, a lot of snacking on candies and, you know, things like that can also, you know, mess up your diet. And one main thing too is what time, like the times you eat and the times you stop eating. You know, we in pharmacy school, we study that the time, if you're able to stop eating, if you don't eat at time when you're least active, that can, you know, help you manage your weight. So if you're eating late into the night and you fall asleep, you could easily gain, you know, a few pounds very, very easily. So it's more about things that you avoid more than things that you actually eat. So that's what I try to implement in my fitness journey. So,
have you ever thought about looking at working with a nutritionist, or have you ever worked with a nutritionist before? I'm just curious because it's something that I tend to recommend for my patients, especially if they're having challenges with like food allergies or just like, you know, having stomach upset. A lot of times it's just because they like truly have an allergy to the food, or it doesn't go well with their biology. So I know there's certain vegetables and certain fruits that some people can't eat. Like some people are unable to eat avocados because it can strain their digestion. So just little things like that. I mean, I know there's certain things that I talk with my patients about just to help them with their journey. But I think part of the thing that I really like about you is that you call it a journey and that it's a lifestyle and it's not a diet, right? So like when you change your eating habits, or if you change your exercise, or you're increasing your physical activity, it's a lifestyle change. And it's really about the development of a new habit. So do you know about how long it took you to get to the point where you were able to exercise every day and have this very disciplined approach? Did it take you overnight, or did it take some time?
Yeah, it definitely took some time. It definitely wasn't overnight. I know when I was in, like I said before, when I was in undergrad, when I kind of had I came to a moment when I was looking at myself. I was like, okay, I'm eating too much. I'm eating too much junk food. Let me kind of just chill a little bit. But yeah, it was a journey. Like I always tell people, when you start a fitness or wellness journey, don't do it just to lose a couple pounds here and there. You have to make sure it's you implement in your lifestyle. Then it becomes easier if you make it a habit. I know there was some research say that, okay, to make something a habit, you need at least 21 days of, you know, doing something consistently. The more recent ones say that you need about 59 or 70 days of more consistency, which doesn't mean you're doing it every single day. It just means that, okay, you can miss a few days here and there, but you're being intentional of, you know, so, hey, this is for the long-term, not just for short-term gain. So, that's, you know, just making it a habit and then being intentional with it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I've read the Power of Habits book. So I definitely know that it takes quite a bit of effort in order to incorporate new habits and new skills into your lifestyle. With that being said, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about is your social media presence and your social media influence. I know that you briefly mentioned it during your introduction, but for those of our audience who haven't heard of the Fit Pharmacist and are not familiar with your social media presence, can you talk about sort of the rationale for starting it? And, you know, some of the things that you're most proud about that you have been able to bring attention and awareness to.
Thank you, Dr. Madison. So my platform, I started a platform right after I graduated pharmacy school. I was always interested in creating videos when I was in pharmacy school. Even before then, I was always making videos about, you know, anything. So I just like making content. So when I was in pharmacy school, I frequent social media a lot. And I'll see that there's a lot of medical professionals on social media, but pharmacists were probably the least most represented on social media. But in the real world, we're the most accessible healthcare professional, for good or for bad. You know, if it's in a community setting, like the pharmacies are just wide open, like for the public to see. So I wanted to, you know, extend that to the social media platform. I believe that pharmacists are probably the easiest healthcare professional to talk to. We see patients every day. They're able to, you know, just pour their hearts out about what they couldn't tell their prescribers or their providers in their setting. They feel people feel more comfortable, you know, speaking to a pharmacist. So with that, I created this platform kind of to, you know, help, you know, bring that kind of relationship and engagement, you know, on a social media platform. I create content, you know, health-related content, pharmacy-related content, things that affect healthcare professionals, things that affect, you know, a lot of our patients that we see every day. But my style is very different. It's very non-formal. Keep it engaging. I keep it, you know, funny. Use a lot of humor, a lot of sarcasm. You know, add some levity to some topics and issues that we deal with a lot in our setting. So I know that you know, with you do a lot of public health stuff. You do a great job, of course.
I'm very grateful to have another fellow pharmacist that is putting themselves out there, because let's be honest, you know, most pharmacists don't really like to be in the public eye. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the exposure, and I want to shout it from the rooftops, you know, that we're one of the most underutilized resources within the healthcare system. And I go around singing our praises. I'm like, did you know pharmacists could do this? Did you know pharmacists could do this? So I love your levity. I love it. I think it's great. And it's funny because, you know, for those who will be watching this on YouTube, you can see, like, you're very, like, you smile all the time. You're like, you know, this conversation has been great. But when you're on social media, you have this, like, very stern look on your face. And it's so funny because, like, I would never have known that until we had this conversation. Because that's, like, your persona, right? Like, you're just, like, you know, because you do the green screen stuff. Uh-huh. So you're always like pointing and looking at things. And I'm like, man, he's so dramatic. Like,
I mean, the drama is definitely something I like to do on social media. I mean, with health information, it is hard to make health information exciting. You know, most times it's very formal and, you know, very proper. And, you know, but in order to affect public health and to have an effect on people and to be able to have people share your content, you know, to share, you know, informative content, you have to make it engaging, somewhat engaging, but, you know, also factual, and make sure that you cross all the I's and dot all the T's. So, but yeah, making engaging health content is a challenge, but so far I think it's doing okay. I'm doing okay with it, but I just hope to continue what I'm doing with it. So, in order to help affect people, you know, and have people share the content.
I would say it is a skill and an art, and you have mastered it.
Thank you.
So with that being said, I know one of the things, because obviously we want to talk a little bit about public health and sort of some of the things that have come up recently within public health. One of the biggest things that I know we talk about, in particular, because it affects so many different aspects of the healthcare system, is challenges with the opioid crisis and sort of who may be, you know, someone who is historically marginalized versus maybe somebody who traditionally may not have been seen as somebody who may have challenges with substance use. and how you see the community pharmacist, you know, stepping up, especially now that we know that Narcan is going over the counter. And I know this is something that you've talked about a little bit on your platform, but sort of wanted to have you discuss a bit about how you educate your patients and how you deal with, you know, people maybe needing test strips or needing to know where harm reduction resources are.
Yeah. Good that you brought that up. So I recently made a video on Narcan after it became they announced that it was becoming over the counter, which I think is a great thing. Of course, you know, I think that, you know, giving people access to Narcan to life saving medication is a good thing for public health. Right? We in the community settings, we deal with a lot of opioids. You know, you see some prescribers over prescribing opioids, even for acute reasons. A lot of pharmacists are. I mean, we're going through a lot right now with the opioid, you know, opioid crisis in America. We're trying to, I guess we're trying to help patients understand that, you know, that these drugs, these opioid drugs they're very, very dangerous, very, very harmful. Like they can be very, very dangerous if not utilized correctly. So I think that, you know, with my platform, I'm able to educate patients on, you know, over prescribing. I know this is unrelated, but I had one video that I made. It was about ibuprofen. It was one prescription.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, because if somebody has a violent, horrible allergy to ibuprofen, I wish more people talked about the dangers of ibuprofen.
Yes. So there was one prescription that was floating around on the internet, on Twitter, it was one prescription about ibuprofen, 800 milligrams, and they wrote down, the person wrote down 2 tablets. It was 10 tablets. I think it was 10 tablets every like 8 hours, which is a crazy amount. So that's just a little snippet of what pharmacists deal with, what we see. I know it's ibuprofen, but we also see a lot of the opioids that are being overprescribed too. So I was kind of shedding some light on, you know, that what pharmacists kind of have to deal with, things that we have to catch on a daily basis. And if you're dealing with the opioid crisis, you know, a lot of these drugs are, luckily now there's Narcan, so you can actually reverse some of those effects. But a lot of those drugs that we see, opioid drugs that we see, we have to make interventions on with the call prescribers, you know, get things organized, educate some prescribers that aren't very aware of what we're monitoring. You know, DEA gets involved if you're seeing some pharmacies pushing out, you know, more and more these opioids. You're seeing pill mills, you know, here and there. So it's been very, very, you know, it's a very, very stressful situation. You don't want to dispense a medication that can harm a patient. So, but I am glad that Narcan is out and available to most people now, and that can actually get the help that they need. So that's a very, very positive thing in our community right now.
So I think that it's great that you're bringing attention to those prescriptions that are like, what was this person thinking, right? It's been a hot minute since I've worked in community. I think it's been, oh my gosh, like 16 years since I've worked, no, 17 years since I've worked in community. So I've been a pharmacist for almost 20 years. So I know your face, you're like, oh my God, what? So I've been a pharmacist since 2004. And so I practiced for a little bit in community. And then obviously when I was doing residency, and it's scary to me, all of the things that community pharmacists have to deal with now that I did not have to deal with when I was first practicing. And I'm curious, you know, if you have advice for people who are, you know, burnt out or, you know, concerned about the pharmacy profession, and like ways that you can enhance your job and your quality of your job? Because I know, like, because of the fact that you have this platform and because you are doing all this content, you have something that you love and you have something that you're passionate about, not to mention that you're good at, that's offsetting and sort of supplementing what you're doing in pharmacy. And so I'm just curious, is that something that you would advise others to do? Or I don't know, what's your like pearls of wisdom that you think that you would want to leave us with as a fairly new pharmacist, but also somebody who's making a really big impact?
Yeah, I would advise if someone would want to make a pharmacist want to get into the old social media content space, if that's for you, I mean, it's not for everybody. If that's what something that you want to do, you could just start it, because the beauty about social media is that you can make it whatever you want it to be. So if you want to create that same type of impact that you're having in your pharmacy setting, you want to create that for the world to see, you can create that on social media. You can, make content, inform the public about different topics and issues on social media. It doesn't take much, to do. I mean, for me, all I have is a green screen, or just record, and I record my phone. So it doesn't take much to make an impact on social media. Social media is a big platform. It's a big platform, and it's a very, very huge tool that we at pharmacists can use to make a change. Since the pandemic, since when everything shut down, everything was going crazy, everybody was buying all the toilet paper in the world. That's when I realized, hey, this is actually, social media is actually a good tool to create content, because when you run social media during the pandemic, you saw a lot of, misinformation being spread, by, random people. There was one post about, someone had a post about the syringes that the needles they were using for COVID vaccines. They had one, I think it was about a 10-inch needle.
And oh my God, don't even get me started on the supplies that we got from the Strategic National Stockpile. I was like, these look like they were left over from the H1N1 pandemic. They were so big. They were crazy, those needles. And I was like, all these little old people. I was like, I was scrambling to try to get things that were... Yes, but yes, I agree. I mean, but that is a perfect example of how social media can be used for good. Yeah. And you can bring awareness to something that people are struggling with, but may not know how to get the word out.
Correctly, yeah. And it's very easy to get the word out on social media. You make content. If people like it, they'll share it. One post can go from, five views to a million, 10 million views. If you're able to make content that people want to share. There's always things you have to do behind the scenes, working the algorithm, kind of learning which platform you want to post on, the type of content you want to post, and knowing, the algorithm for all the platforms you want to post on. So, I think it's for pharmacists, if you don't feel like you're making the change, which we are, you're making a big difference in the pharmacy setting, you can always go to social media and, make more of an impact, because you can definitely reach more people on social media, sitting from home, than you would, in one particular setting. So that's the beauty in social media. You can reach a lot more people and have a lot more, make a lot more change and progress too.
And I would also too, just want to add that I think for some pharmacists that may be a little bit gun shy with being on camera, you don't actually have to be on camera to make an impact. You can do social media posts with static photos. You can do blog posts. You can do op-eds. You can write. I know there's a lot of, there's a lot of areas that they're looking for content from pharmacists. There's this service called Haro, where you basically get alerts when there are reporters that are looking for, healthcare professionals to comment on stories or give quotes. So there's lots of different places that you can engage and get a broader audience that don't necessarily require you to create video content. And so I do want to make sure that I point that out as well, because I know there are some people who don't necessarily want to be on camera or don't want to always have to be camera ready. I know that is something I also struggle with. So I started during the beginning of the pandemic, when I was still doing in-person interviews before everything shut down, I started keeping a media bag in my car. So I would have like an extra change of clothes and like makeup and all of the things. Wow. So that if I got asked to do any in-person or in studio, I would have something ready to go. Because the media cycle is so quick, you know, like it's, you know, if I get asked to do a media hit, I usually have anywhere from an hour to maybe 2 hour leeway before I have to do the interview. For more like bigger appearances, like national stuff, sometimes I'll have a couple weeks, but like, that's the luxury. So, but yeah, I mean, again, it's not for the faint of heart. If anybody's been on Twitter lately, they know that Twitter can sometimes not be super kind. And if this is something that you want to do or something that you want to enter into, just know when you're public, the better you get, the more haters you may have, right? Oh, yeah. So like people say the not nicest things on social media. So just be prepared that, you know, I was reading this book by Amy Porterfield. It's called 2 Weeks Notice. And one of the, she has a chapter that's called Boo, You Ain't For Everybody. And I just think that's, it's such good advice, right? So like, you can't measure your back end on someone else's front end, yeah, right? So like what we're seeing on social media is people's perfect day. Exactly. Right? Like you're not seeing all of the behind the scenes and all of the stuff that they had to do to get to that point. So try not to do the comparison game and really just do what you love and what fills your cup up and what you're passionate about. And I always talk about this, like, what is your zone of genius, which is like the thing that you're innately good at, that you're better at than anybody else, and that you just like lose all track of time because you're so engrossed in it and it brings you joy. And that's the thing I want more pharmacists to be able to do and to live in their passion, and to be able to make a meaningful and lasting change in the world. So
yeah, that's very well put together. Those are definitely some good pros for social media, because social media is a crazy, especially Twitter, is a crazy place where you can't start to compare yourself to other people. And it's very easy to do that, because when you open your app, it's all you see is other pages and other channels either doing great. So, I mean, it's good to kind of stay in your own lane and stay in your space and, you know, just keep your head clear and just, you know, do what you love, do what you like to do, and post what you would want other people to see. So post what you would want other people to see from you. So it does make it a lot easier. I have a question for you though, but how are you able to manage, like with your platform, how are you able to manage all these, you know, because I'm always seeing your interview, you see you on TV, you have one post on Good Morning America, like how are you able to manage that and still be a pharmacist, you know, and still do what you're doing? How are you able to manage that?
It is challenging, first and foremost. I will acknowledge that some days I may not do it well. Part of it is I'm very scheduled. So I do my best to put everything in my calendar. The other thing too, is that this year I hired a personal assistant, which has been like game changer. So I am a firm believer in hiring help. Like people will say, oh, you're doing great. You're doing this. Girl, you had to hire somebody. Like, you had to hire somebody, right? So that's me. So full disclosure, I hire help, like for all of the things that I need help with in my life. So when you sit down and think about it, what is the thing in your life that you hate doing, but could outsource? That thing is the thing you hire people for.
Yes.
Right? So me, calendars, scheduling, right? Like, just give me time to do me. Wow. And what that is me showing up as my best self, being around others, being on stage, being in front of people, being on TV, right? Like that is my happy place. So for me to do that, I need somebody to schedule it and to get it on the page. And so that's why I made the decision to hire somebody to help me. In the beginning of the year. And it was an investment. And I had to think about, you know, what are some other things that maybe we'll have to take a back seat, you know, for me to be able to hire this help, and looking at it as opportunity cost that I'm losing because I'm doing all of these things that is not my zone of genius that I can hire somebody else at $20 an hour to do, yeah. Right? And, or you could hire a VA, which is typically somebody from another country. And it's like even less. So you're talking anywhere from like $10 to $15 an hour, in some cases, even less than that. So it depends. So, but I'm a firm believer. And if you don't know how to do something, don't just try to figure it out on your own because it's going to take you a lot longer. Hire help, hire somebody who's done it and has already figured out the bumps and can give you their secret sauce, right? Like that's me, you know, like if there's so many things that I wish that I had known when I started this journey on being, you know, kind of like a public figure and being more in the media space. One is like protecting your intellectual property, when to trademark, when to hire an attorney, when to have somebody to review contracts. Like all of these things are things that I wish somebody had told me because nobody teaches that to you as a pharmacist, yeah. Right? But on the back end of that, you also have to remember, like, I'm still a clinician. I'm still a pharmacist. I'm still working in my community. I'm still helping nonprofits. I'm still like, that's still my passion. I'm just navigating it in a different space that now I'm able to make a bigger impact. So instead of just helping my little bubble, I'm able to help more people. And I feel like that's kind of where you're coming from too. And I don't want to say that it's easy. And I don't want to say that it came naturally to me because it didn't. And so again, that's why I want to be truly honest and transparent that it was a journey. It's still a journey and I'm still learning, but I hired help. And that's, I think, really what it comes down to is if you see something that you want to do, but don't know the path to get there, find someone else who's doing it and is doing it well and ask them how they did it. A lot of times people will tell you and they won't even like ask you to like pay them. A lot of times it's a vanity thing, right? Like appeal to people's vanity. They're like, you think I'm amazing? We'll tell you exactly how I did it. Right? Like that's seriously like appeal to people's vanity. Talk to them. I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. I don't know if you use LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is like, that's the platform that I definitely have the most engagement on. And I have reached out to people and cold called or cold message them. And I get way more of a response on LinkedIn than I do DMing people on Instagram or emailing people without any like warm introduction. So I, again, follow people, comment, look and see what people are doing that you wanna do or you wanna emulate and ask how they did it. And a lot of times people, like every coach that I know has a coach. Everybody who I know that is doing super well has hired help. And I know it's kind of a dirty word because a lot of times I think pharmacists don't want to invest in themselves, but you need to invest in yourself, regardless of if you're a pharmacist or not. You just need to invest in yourself. And that means continuous education, professional development. That may even be like getting a therapist and dealing with your childhood trauma, because a lot of times that'll, you know, prevent you from being your best self. Whatever it is, you may need to put an investment in, and whether that's a money investment or a time and sweat equity investment, just like your fitness journey, you had to do the work, right, to get to where you are. You have to put in the time.
I definitely believe in hiring help. Because recently I was creating my website for Fit Pharmacists, and you know, the last time I worked on a website was in like middle school or middle high school. So I got on my computer. I'm like, hey, how am I going to build my website? I'm like, so I sat on the computer for about an hour and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do this. Let me find someone that can make a website for me. I hired somebody and they did it in a day. So the time that I wasted, I could have wasted weeks, months making a website, but hired somebody, use outsource, always, you know, outsource help, outsource, you know, people that can make stuff for you. So, and if you'd be surprised how much it might not be that expensive to pay for someone to do something. And that time that you save the time that you save from, you know, that you might waste trying to figure it out yourself, you could use that time for, you know, for, like you said, for, you know, developing and working on yourself, you know, making yourself a better person for that you want to show out to the world. So definitely investing in yourself. It is for pharmacists. It could be kind of scary. Oh, you know, think you're going to spend the money, spend this much on yourself to invest. But in the long run, it's worth it. It's worth it at the end because you're saving yourself a lot of time, a lot of headache too. So I definitely believe in that.
So did I answer your question, Walter?
Yes, you did. Yeah. you answered it very, very well. So yeah, I mean, cause the way I'm seeing you here and there doing all these things, I'm like, how are you able to do all this stuff? So, and then your secretary shot me an email. I'm like, oh, she has a secretary too much. That's pretty cool. So,
It's the same person. It's my PA. She's my personal assistant.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I'm sure that definitely takes a big load off of you. And then you can work on, you know, do your other things and, you know, have 100% commitment to those things too, without worrying about.
That's one of the best investments I made in 2023. She's delightful. So with that being said, this has been such a wonderful conversation. And thank you so much again for your visibility and everything that you're doing for community pharmacists. I know that you bring a lot of like levity to the situation, but you are bringing, you know, a lot of exposure to really important issues within pharmacy, especially things around, you know, medications that are on back order and how that impacts you as a pharmacist and how that impacts your patients. So I really want to just applaud you and say thank you for the work that you're doing, because I do think that we need to have more pharmacists that are more visible because we are the most underutilized resource within the healthcare system. So if people want to find you, follow you, figure out how you've been so successful in your life, how can they reach out to you? How can they find all of these really cool videos that we spoke of during today's interview?
Sure. Thank you for that. You can follow me on Instagram at my fit pharmacist. That's fit with a P. So it's my PHIT pharmacist on Instagram. I just created a website that I'm launching soon. It's fitpharmacist.com, phitpharmacist.com. I'm also on TikTok at fitpharmacist. I'm on YouTube, fitpharmacist. I'm on Reddit. I'm on Snapchat. I'm on everything. Just fitpharmacist. If you want to watch the content, you know, I hope you are able to look at it and enjoy it and engage it and share it with all your friends and all your colleagues. I do. It's a lot of work that goes into it behind the scenes. And I always try to make, you know, quality content that we call that pharmacists and other healthcare professionals can enjoy and share too. So hopefully you can check it out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for your time. And I will be sure to add all of your social media handles to our show notes so that people can follow, like, comment, and share.
Thank you. Oh, you didn't see my office. You watched The Office? I only watched The Office for anybody watched The Office, the reference.
Yes, I see that. That gentleman and his colleague are in a Cheerios commercial now. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
What? Yeah. Just look it up. I don't know if you watch regular TV.
So. Yeah, only YouTube for me.
Only YouTube. Yeah, exactly. My husband does the same thing. My husband's younger, so he's about the YouTube life. So with that being said, I hope we haven't like ruined anything for copyright infringement because we just said like multiple brand names. full disclosure, we are not selling anything on YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, any of those things. So from a legal standpoint, I think we're covered. It is for informational purposes only. But yes, again, I'm so happy that we had this conversation. It was a long time coming, and I'm really grateful that you were able to spend the time with me this afternoon, and I wish you nothing but continued success, and I hope we get to collaborate and do something in the future.
Most definitely. Thank you for having me on this, on your wonderful platform, and thank you for doing what you're doing with the pharmacy profession. You're definitely holding up pharmacists at a higher platform and, you know, giving people, letting people know what pharmacists can do. So kudos to you.
Yes. Again, this is the Public Health Matters podcast with me, your host, Dr. Christina Madison, also known as the Public Health Pharmacist. You can find me on your social media du jour at the Public Health Pharmacist. And you can feel free to reach out to me if you have show ideas or if you just want me to answer some public health questions. This has been part of the Pharmacy Focus podcast series as part of Pharmacy Times. And friendly reminder, public health matters.